Aaron, when we record this podcast, hey, everybody, welcome back to the Ones Ready podcast. Who are you speaking for and who are our guests speaking for? Is this the official or the unofficial official podcast for the United States Air Force?
It's the unofficial official podcast of the United States Air Force. So the views expressed by anybody that we bring on are their own, of their own opinion, of their own time. They're not using government funds or government equipment in order to make it happen. So when they come on, they're speaking in their own capacity as a citizen exercising their First Amendment right, and they're entitled to their own opinions about experiences that they've had, and it's not necessarily on behalf of an organization that they work for the DOD. And that's going to become important here when we talk to JMAC, which is the episode that we just recorded.
Those are big R rights. Enjoy it, y'all.
Big R rights. Have a good one. Hates it when we waste content. So Peaches does two things, JMAC. He freaking straight up knife hands us every single time we have a conversation with a guest before we start recording, and then he berates us for wasting content. The other thing he does is he steals the intro, but he's not here. Welcome back to the team room, everybody. It's me, it's Trent, it's JMAC, long time listener, fourth time caller, ball of fire, big party, small box. What's up, JMAC?
Big party, small box. Thanks for the intro. So not much is new. Just want to get on here and talk a little bit about, you know, like I talked about last time, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, man. So the world's a crazy place. The world's a crazy place. It's on fire from the top down. So, you know, just have a conversation. So what a lot of people don't get is you look at podcasts, right? So what have podcasts done in the last 20 years, right? They bring, especially in, from the military side of things, they bring the conversations that are had in team rooms and they bring them to the public, you know what I mean, to the public eye. And I would say with some restrictions, right? Both of you are prior, you know, you're now the old retired guys.
Yeah, so those of us that, guy, baby. So those of call us me a former still, action yeah, guy forever.
Those of us that are still in have to kind of toe the line a bit. But I would just say, you know, there's a lot on my mind. I call myself like a 2-to-1 problem solver, right? So I'm going to, for every 2 problems I solve, I'm going to create 1. Some of my leadership is like, damn it, pull him back. And then sometimes they're like, whatever, let him go. You know what I mean? Because I don't like the phone. I don't like the electronic mail. You know, if you're in the building next to me, I'm going to walk over. I'm going to say hi. I'm big on that human-to-human interaction. I'm big on the emotional intelligence aspect of things. I'm constantly, and I know we all are, right? That the implicit bias that all of us have, you know what I mean, in the world today, we just look at people and we just immediately, we're like, oh God, you know what I mean? But we don't know because we don't talk to them. Mm-hmm. So, but anyways, I can go on and on. For Trent, right? Your whole like fixing officers thing cracked me up. You know what I mean? And I've looked back at the content for you guys have, and you guys have had absolute banger guests on the podcast. Everybody from, you're talking CZ to the Chief Master of Air Force to just absolute heavy hitters. You know what I mean? So like, I feel like the kid that didn't get picked on the 6th grade kickball team, because I was a fat kid, right? They didn't really want to pick me. But like, it's an honor just be invited on. And I kind of just like mosey myself in, being just dropping little texts in the text chat. But it's interesting how you say that, because you know, task, purpose, end state. We've identified a problem, right? But it's not necessarily there's probably some institutional issues there. But like, it's, we're not going to fix officers by going, hey, everyone has to be prior enlisted. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, you're talking, if you look back to, I mean, the start of it, I don't even know. I did a little research, probably Aaron knows more about this stuff. But like, when did the service academies first start? We're talking Revolutionary War times, right? I don't even, 1800s probably, early 1900s. I don't even know when the Air Force Academy started, but it's not necessarily an officer problem. It's a personnel problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's how we're raising these people. It's the background, life experiences, the character that they bring to the table. And then just a mutual friend of ours has a good line that you were at INDOC with. I don't want to drop him on here, but he's with me on this trip and we had a good conversation last night, but he said this, some people are just, what do you say? Forever squares. And I think you probably know who said that, but like, some people are just forever squares. It's their personality. And it's a matter of like, regardless if you're a, you know, an E1, E9, an O1, you know, an O10, to grab that person and go, hey man, like, you should do this, you should do that. You know what I mean? Because nobody wants to be open and honest with anybody anymore, because everybody's walking on eggshells. Everybody has a fear of, like, you know, like, what, you know, what's going to happen to me if I offend this person? And also, like, everyone's a victim, dude. Why? You know, and I didn't want to come on today and just, like, bitch and complain.
I don't, you know what I mean?
But you guys get me fired up when you talk about, like, the BMI thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, I mean, and I'll admit, I'm in, like, a lull right now. I broke my hand last December. I didn't find out it was broken until January. Docs hate me. Actually, the orthopedic doctor said that. He's like, J-Mac, you are the most non-compliant patient I have ever met in the history of me practicing medicine.
You're number one.
I mean, hey, I'm number one of something, right? And the reason being is I was like, yeah, I found it was broken. It's the hook of hammy. It's super rare break. Even our HPO team was like, man, I've seen like two of those in 20 years. I'm like, I'm special. You know what I mean?
You are special.
Like, so like, they put me in a hard cast and I go into a group meeting and I'm like, no kidding. Like, just like one of those classic jokes where I put the calf on the table right next to the dock and I'd put my pocket knife down and I said, you take it off or I'm taking it off. And he goes, he's like, damn it.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Yeah, he goes, he's like, damn it, it's been 6 days. And I said, yeah, it's healed. I think it's healed. It feels better.
It's healed. I'm over
it. You know
what
I mean? It's 100% healed.
I'm over
it. I drank a lot of chocolate milk. Like, my BMI went up at least like 2% via, yeah, like
12 you know, points.
The sugary chocolate milk. We're good.
Right.
So
you can still join.
You can still join. You're fine.
But anyways, I'll tell you this, dude. So one last thing about like the whole, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but I got a limited time today because obviously one of the most important events in the world is happening this weekend. It's the Masters. You guys know that.
My boy, I thought you were going to say UFC 300. Nothing. Vegas is electric right now,
J-Mac. That's good, too. And then World War III is about to kick off. But like,
well, yeah. The whole Iran thing. That's going to be sporty. Give them bread and circuses, though.
Yeah. And I turned the AC off in my room so you guys don't hear the fans. So I'm dying. I feel like I'm in a hot box right now.
Oh, geez. Just turn it on.
Just turn it on. It's not worth it.
So, but what I'm getting at is like, have you guys talked about the BMI and like how I talk in eggshells, right? So this dude in my unit the other day, I saw you go down to the supply section. I'm just hanging out with guys talking about this, that, and the other. And I see this guy who I met for, you know, during ALS class. They do these thorough workouts. They always want somebody to come do it. And I'm like, I'll volunteer my time. You know what I mean? Because I love the mentorship side of things. I have like an imperfect, I'm just going to say that, upbringing. You know what I mean? Like on repeat, my CTE just kicks in every now and again. But I love to mentor the people because they don't know what they're, and I've said it before in earlier episodes, people don't know what they're capable of until they are forced to try. And I always brief them. And I'm always like, here's the deal. Here's what we're going to do. And I expect pukers. You know what I mean? And if you puke, I want you to just purge and press. You know what I'm saying? And they're just like, and of course, like there's always a couple of PJs in the class and they're like, oh, geez, dude, here we go. And you know, we're halfway through this workout and somebody's like, sir, somebody's puking. And I just yell at him. I'm like, purge, press, catch your group. And like, hopefully something like that sticks with them for a long time because there's something to be said for that. And it's extremely important. But back to this fellow, right? So I'm big on, like, I'm a wild child. I say things that probably people in my position shouldn't say at times, but I read the room. That's that EQ aspect, right? You got to read the room and know who's there. At the end of the day, common sense has just left the building. So you have to like, hey, here, let's just have an honest, common sense discussion, right? So this guy, he remembers me from one of the ALS classes and he's like, hey, sir, how are you? I'm like, I kind of look over at him and I was like, it was a choice word, but I looked at him and said, are you effing homeless? That's literally what I said. And this is an E4 because his hair, disaster. Beard, disaster.
I was like, where are we going for this?
This is where I'm going with this because the standards thing. Okay. Like when I say I toe the line, like, but I'm still super proud of my military service. I'm super proud to have served in the military. And I am a staunch advocate for profession of arms. You know what I mean? Like, I will toe that professional line. But at the end of the day, give me a problem, I'm going to solve it. Like I said, I may like create another one in the wake, but I'm going to solve the other two. But like, be professional. Project an image of professionalism. You're in the United States military. There's enough craziness going on in the world today that people don't need to see somebody in a uniform out in public with a U.S. Air Force, U.S. Army, U.S. Marines, and Navy, and go, oh, that's what everyone in the DOD looks like. They're all morbidly obese with big-ass beards. They don't need to see that. You know what I mean? If you look at the very basic concept of the Department of Defense, right? What is it? And you probably know better than I, but it's like support and defend the Constitution, the United States of America, right? That's it. We're supporting and defending the Constitution. But you have people from within trying to destroy that. I'm not going to go in this. You know, I'm not going to dive into the conspiracy pool right now because it's not the time or place.
This is the pool, actually.
Yeah. This is the pool, right?
You're in the deep end.
That's a big ass deep end. I'm about to be over back with twin 80s.
Yeah. As you're speaking on your own and your views do not represent the DOD, the military, or the Air Force, we got it.
Yeah. So that's a big thing with me, man. It's like, I get it. If you want to have the beard because it's a cool or you don't know how to shave, which I think it's all BS personally. You know what I mean? Like there's a legit, if you've got, what is it, fasciculitis, is that what it is? Or, you know, mm-hmm. like if you got the disease where you can't shave, you know, disease, right? But at least look, that's the least you can do for me. Please.
I heard a quote from a Marine officer, and this quote has rang true since the second that I heard it. He said, shaving waivers for barbofolliculitis are almost always a lower enlisted problem, which is weird because that's 100% what it is. It's these E6 and below. They're like, oh, I think it's cool. I want to have a shaving chit. It's not that they can't shave their face. It's that they want to buck that system. They want to find a way to get around whatever the rules are. And I think, you know, man, I'm the type of person you are, J-Mac. Like, I will fix two problems, but I will cause you another one. I probably do not go about things the most tactful way. And I've been trying to work on it, but I'm stupid and I'm not good at things. So here we are. But that goes to say, you know, we've talked about it a lot. And you're hitting exactly the same thing that we've talked about is like, we're spending time correcting things that we shouldn't have to correct. And when so many of those examples present themselves in one, like, if it's a one-off, if it was that one senior airman with long hair and a beard and looking fat, you'd be like, hey, you're not doing the right thing. But it's not one. It's every single time I look around, you're like, you're not wearing the uniform correctly. You look like a bag of shit. Why are you having a TikTok in uniform on your public account? Why are you doing these things? Why are you doing these things? And it's everybody all at once. And it starts to, you start to feel like you're taking crazy pills. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, that back to the whole, like, I'm afraid to offend, right? And I'm about to step into a little pool of conspiracy here, maybe not really, but like,
just dip your toe in, see how it feels.
Afraid to offend because everyone is a victim today, okay?
Right.
And it's from the top down, okay? Mm-hmm. This whole, I'm gonna say it, I don't care. So this whole DEI thing,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing it because here's the deal. First and foremost, if anybody's listening out there that has influence, come talk to me. I'll go toe-to-toe with you. If you're a professor, I don't care what you are, right? Let's change the acronym to DIE because that's ultimately what's going to happen. It's going to cause people to die. When you look at the Department of Defense and you look at the branches, the different branches of the military, we are inherently probably the most diverse group of individuals on the planet. We come from all walks of life. All backgrounds, all ethnicities, all race, right? And what is the commonality? We raise our right hand in an all-volunteer force to support and defend the Constitution, right? So why do I need to have diversity pushed on me when in all reality, somebody fact-check me, we are the most diverse force on the planet, right?
Yeah. We're also not representative of the American population. Right. If we were representative of the American population, it would go off to be X percent of this, you know, ethnic group, this percent of the, we're not. We're actually way more diverse than the American population itself. The American military is more representative of a diverse nature than the American population is in itself. But continue.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, and then I swapped the E and the I, right? Because from an inclusivity, right, and equitable standpoint, man. You can do whatever, and I think I've said this before, you can do whatever and be whoever you want in the military with a little bit of effort. And then you guys talk about, that's really the kind of the premise of a lot of your podcasts. effort goes a long way. Dude, I joined the military 25 years ago as an E1 airman basic freaking engine mechanic. And I'm still undecided what I want to do. How am I still here?
Right.
You know what I mean? But like, it's because I've said, what's next? What's next? Did you tell me no? Okay, perfect. Oh, you told me no a year ago? Okay, that's in the bank. I'm going to come back to that. Like, it is insane. And I get it. Like you just said, everybody has different definitions of what that means to them, right? And there's all this training that we have to do. But it's like, stop. You're creating victimhood, really. And that's what I think is really happening. And that's back to the whole, like, the shaving waivers and the BMI. It's the NCOs and the O's that are allowing it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I may call people out and I'm joking. But the fact that if you're a supervisor, first-line supervisor individual that absolutely looks like a bad guy, fix it. It's your job to fix it, right? Or are you just letting it go? You know what I mean? Because I tell you right now, from the 05 down or the E9 down, yeah, we get trouble, right? But I feel like the accountability is like when you become an 06 and above, or you're a VS, SES, you know, all up the chain, accountability is like optional. And it's super frustrating.
It certainly feels that
super
way.
Super frustrating.
Yeah. And it certainly and feels that way.
Yeah. And when I go to my next topic is like with all of that, I talk like leadership, right? I'm a big fan. I'm super passionate about leadership. Probably I'm looking with a friend of mine to create an LLC for the what's next in my life, right? Aside from golf, probably going to involve golf. But what I tell people is I refer to them oftentimes, obviously I read the room, but I'm like, yeah, upper management. You know what I mean? There's some bona fide leaders out there who like empower those around them, who, you know, lead with empathy, right? And they're super transparent as much as they can be. That's kind of my big thing. But like, there are bona fide leaders, but the majority, we're looking at just people who are just upper management. I call them middle and upper management because we've said it before, but managers, they oversee people, programs, and processes. They might as well just be at the Office of Budget Management and be bean. Where did that penny go? Where did that nickel go? Where's that dime? I'm a bean because I really don't care. You know what I mean? And then there's the people that, like, I genuinely care about everybody's around. You know, I genuinely care if I see somebody I don't even know at the BX or something. I'm like, dude, looks like he's out. I will go up to you, rank AFSC agnostic, and go, hey, man, you good? You know what I mean? It's wild. Mm-hmm. So what I say with all these upper management people and these so-called leaders, right, they are buzzword drunk. Like, maybe we should put that on the chat for that. But like,
I'm in.
Buzzword.
You just did.
There's thousands of podcasts, right? Thousands. And everybody likes to say what sounds sexy, what sounds like it needs to be said at a specific time. Like, I just need to say this. And if I say this, then they think it's genuine. They think it's authentic. And my job is done. I said the buzzword of the day, the buzzword of the week. Where's your follow through? You know what I mean? Where's your follow through? It's non-existent. You know, like I may not be that 20-year-old that's still like a psycho in the gym and this, that, there, but I show up. You know, and I have a couple young guys every now and again, they come over to me and I'm just like in my pool of hate and like.
They're asking me if you're okay.
Yeah,
AFSC agnostic. They're like, are you okay, Jay?
They're like, hey, Jay Mac, like, you know, I just think it's cool that you're in here destroying yourself, like doing your own little thing. And like, but not because I want accolades. It's because like, man,
But that's the point. Like, everybody doesn't need this whole culture of creating leaders. Is in itself like that's stupid. We don't create leaders, and everybody does things differently, right? Like this idea that just because you're an 05 you need to be a leader somehow, like that everybody has a fundamental misunderstanding of what that word means and what they're supposed to do with that. You know, you go to all these schools and they're like, oh, we're creating leaders and this is how you do it. And it's like, oh, or I also want to create people that are just competent, good at their jobs. Because if those bean counters are super good at their jobs but they're socially awkward and they shouldn't be squadron commanders, I think that's fine. You know, and in leadership by example, like you have like leaders that or squadron commanders that are not that personable. But if you're good at your job and you hold your senior NCOs accountable and the squadron is functioning the way it's supposed to function, I don't care if you're personable. I don't care if you say buzzwords. I don't give a shit about any of that. But to me, that's better leadership than these people that'll come in front of the squadron, say the stupid buzzwords, try to placate you through, you know, whatever magic words that they're trying to say. And then there's no follow through, right? And that they're not doing their job. They're not holding people accountable. And so there's like this fundamental misunderstanding of what leaders are, what they should be doing, and how many we actually need in the institutions. That's what I think.
I'll tell you what the most disgusting thing is, and it's the best example that I can come up with it. Do you know that there are wing commanders that have entire staffs that write their entire emails for them? Every email, every speech, every engagement. There are staffs of usually captains and sometimes majors that sit around and they craft all of these things, and then they send it out from that other person's account on behalf of their director of staff. Those leaders walk around from event to event to event, saying none of their own words in front of people that don't care. And their leadership is over the second that they step off the stage. And then when they're asked to step up and take a hard position on something, they absolutely won't, because they don't, they're not in control of their own schedule. They're oftentimes not saying their own words. They're speaking some things off of a teleprompter. They're appointed, and those usually aren't the best candidates. They're usually the candidates that just stayed there long enough to get promoted to those positions. So when you have an E8 that's writing speeches for an O6, and he's just reading speeches off, going on his own schedule, that's not leadership. And when it comes time for leaders to step up, some of those leaders fall short. And then we end up in the position where we are now. We're like, how did we get here? How did we get to a point where meritocracy is not the number one thing that we're focused on, where we're not focused on support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America? We seem to be focusing on things that aren't important. And every great society, typically when they start falling and failing, you hyper-focus on things that really aren't a problem. You start ignoring really big problems that are problems. And then there's a hyper-focus on things that are social issues that don't necessarily matter to the thing that you're doing. I think all three of those things are happening right now. I don't know how you feel, J-Mac, but I think those things are happening as we're speaking about it. Is that not true?
You're talking about, so from a DOD perspective, right? We are the DOD, how many government agencies are there? Over 400.
Too many.
And you talk about like the fraud, waste, and abuse type program of just government assets, right? The DOD is a microcosm of, you know what I mean, the upper echelon of whoever or whatever is running this country. Basically lobbyists, right? Mm-hmm. And what the lobbyists want, the lobbyists get. And it's created this kind of evolution of, man, it's so, it's hard to you get the words out what I'm trying to get at. But what it basically, it's created this evolution that's, we should be evolving for the better, and it's not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, right? So I would tell you this, you guys, all the three of us grew up in an era of we're at war for 20 years. You know what I mean? Money wasn't an issue. It just always presented itself. And I think one of the biggest mistakes in the evolution of let's make things better was when they created the force distribution of listed force. Whether you guys agree or disagree, right? And they started stratifying E4s. You know what
right.
I mean?
Well, let's pause right there. Can you do us a favor? Just explain to the folks that aren't aware, like, what is the, because I agree with you and I want to pull this string. There's a buzzword for you. But let's, buzzword bingo. But what is force distribution?
All right. So let's tackle this big rock. Buzzword number two.
There we go.
So basically, what is it? So it's a, like, I have X amount of E4s and X amount of E5s and E6s in a unit, depending on what size my unit is. Me as a squadron leader, right, a leadership and a leader in a squadron, based on my manpower, I have X amount of like promotes and promote nows, right, that I have to give to people. The old days, how we all grew up in this, we tested meritocracy, right, or whatever
meritocracy.
It was. Yeah, meritocracy. We tested, you know, we tested on our job, we tested on like a profession of arms, and you made the mark, you didn't make the mark. Now, you've got people who, it's like, I have to literally have, excuse me, let's say I have 10 people in front of me, and they're all rock stars. And I have to go for my crow's nest, right? I have to go, hey, that's my number one, that's my number two, that's my number three, and everybody else, then hopefully you just test well, type deal, right? So we're stratifying folks, and it created this, I personally think it's created this infighting, if you will, right, within the ranks. Because in the old days, you and I are going on a trip somewhere, we're going to exercise, and it's, let's just say it's in the Arctic, right? And like, man, Aaron didn't bring his jacket, and Aaron is cold. And I go, hey, bro, I've got another jacket on this. You know what I mean? Like, let's go execute this mission. To where now, and granted, this is a far out kind of example, but now we go in this exercise. You're an E6, I'm E6, I want that strat, right? You forgot your jacket. I go, oh, hope you didn't freeze. Hope you don't freeze, dude. Mm-hmm. I'm going to double up my jacket. I'm going to go do this exercise. I'm going to take the credit for this. I'm going to get that strat. You know what I mean? So it's like that camaraderie. I mean, it's still there, but it's like, it's gone. You know what I mean? And it's super frustrating to me.
Careerism is like the opposite of being mission focused, right?
Exactly.
So like, so what are we focusing on?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, and you guys know this, right? Because right now, like, successful careers, what are you now? You're a number on the VA most wanted list. Let's just call
easy.
That. And you're not even most wanted. I'm trying to tell it, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Exit stage left. Hey, on your way out, come here. Let me tag your ear with this like number. And that's all you are. You're sitting in the Lowe's. Maybe you park in a veteran spot. Maybe somebody says thank you for your service. You know what I mean? They don't even know what the hell that means. But like, you're sitting in line and nobody knows what you've done. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows how many people you've Nobody knows.
Oh, I tell them. Yeah.
What? I don't. You know what I mean?
So, like, Trent starts every conversation out with that. He starts every conversation out with, hi, I was a special operator, number one. Number two, ask me about my service. Number three, you're welcome.
My name's Trent Segmiller, hero. I'm like, let's have a conversation.
Man, have you ever heard of One Threading? It's great. So
I'm wearing the shirt. You see the shirt? Look at his logo.
Yeah. Like, subscribe, comment below. So, but yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we talk about this all day, but you know, at the end of the day, we just need to folks that are still in. And I do this. I talk to my guys, everybody that comes in the group, they're like, you sign off this in processing. I'm like, well, yeah, but let's chat. You know what I mean? Like, and the thrash of drive-bys in my day to day, it's like, good luck. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, what's your schedule look like? I'm like, I make it up as I go. And I'm not going to say that as like, oh, I'm a horrible, you know, horrible leader, but like, literally, I make it up as I go. I mean, I'm like, I come in, I go, what kind of craziness is going to happen today? You know what I mean? And but I will take the 5, 10, 15 minutes to go, come on in, sit down, get out your notebook. I'm going to just draw on this dry erase board and explain to you expectations of how you should be, the way you should, you know, carry yourself and amongst your peers. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a different hat than most do on this base. So if somebody sees you walking around acting like a jackass, they think everybody else that wears that hat walks around acting like a jackass. You know what I mean? But if you're just like super like humble and you're like, hey, how can help me help you type deal? You know what I mean? Lose the arrogance, you know, take a little bit of humility. It goes a long way. So there's that. At the end of the day, we just have to, like, this generation is, I'm not going to say there's, like, a whole, like, leading this new generation. It's not, just be blunt with them and tell them stop playing the victim card. You had it earlier, Trent. You want competent humans. And I give this whole spiel on the DEI spiel when it's shoved in our faces. And I say, look, I don't care. I do not care if you are black, white, brown, purple, orange, or if you identify as a giraffe. You better be the best damn giraffe, you know? I don't care. I'm looking for competent, capable human beings that I can triage and plug holes with. That's it. I don't care. I don't, like, I've been in for so long that I don't look at people. I'm not like, oh, that guy's Asian, that guy's black, that guy's Filipino. Okay, who do I want for? I'm just like, dudes, come here. Let's solve this problem. To me, you're a dude or a dudette. We won't talk about what's in the middle of that. Like, what I'm saying is just like, it's
nothing,
dude. Stop. You know, and it's creating, everybody wants to be a victim. That's all it is.
So the Coddling of the American Mind is a great book to read on this. So if you haven't read it already, that talks about safetyism and when words have become violence, right? Because that's kind of what we're talking about, is people feel that they are the victim because they feel that words are actual violence. So when you offend them, they feel that they aren't safe. And we see this everywhere, right? There was just a dance troupe that was not allowed to perform in Seattle because people said their uniforms made them feel not safe. The pendulum swung way too far back in like 2015, and we're kind of getting back. The pendulum is swinging back. So that, with all that to be said, JMAC, you know, for leaders in these environments here, what is your advice to kind of cut through some of this madness. And we don't have to like rail against it. We don't need to, you know, my personal feelings about, you know, DEI programs and some of this other essentialism that we focused on. I think that it's stray voltage, but that's my personal opinion and not how I would lead if I was still in, and it's not how I would interact. So how do you feel for Air Force leaders that really want to cut through, you know, you want to inject some common sense? What would you say your number one skill is? Is it leading with empathy? Is it an emotional intelligence? Is it, you know, are you beholden to a meritocracy where you really will let people succeed or fail on their own effort? Like, how do you feel like you need to lead in today's environment?
So you just, you answered the question basically with the question, right? So it's common sense, man. Like, I'm just going to say it, like, we all know, we all raised, and we know the difference between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's just being that leader that's willing to go up there and be vulnerable, but yes, emotionally intelligent, and go, look, here, this is right, this is wrong, and this is what we're going to do. You know what I mean? Oftentimes, like, tell people, like, so I got selected, I'm going to school next year. Crazy. I got pulled off the alternate list, and like,
wow, look at my boy. Like,
my wife is panicked. Oh boy. You know, she's like, you will tiptoe. You will not engage with people. You know, right. Type deal. Yeah. I'm like, oh no, yeah. I can't wait for the DEI professor conversation.
Oh man.
Question from the back left. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like, what I think needs to happen, and if I'm ever given the opportunity, you know what I mean, to command some bills, going to be like, hey, what I say is, what I want to do is, because I have the whole feel of like, stop existing and start contributing. Right? Like, that's just start contributing. And what I want to do is say to everybody in like my initial speech is, look, from this day forward, each and every one of us, including myself, is on probation. And if you're not going to contribute, then the Air Force has easy jobs. You know what I mean? Like, especially in the spec war community. I said this at a muster not too long ago. I said, look, the Air Force has easy jobs. We've all been told that our pipeline. And if you're a special warfare mission support personnel, or if you're an operator, for that matter, and you're not going to contribute, there's probably 100 people outside the unit who would give anything to be a part of that unit that you're a part of and be able to have the experiences and do the training and things like that that you're a part of. So it's like, move them out. You know what I mean? Move them out, infuse some fresh blood. But like I said, they're too scared. They're too scared to offend. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because the easy button nowadays. Cool. And what I tell people is like, so I say some things that, whew, they're borderline. You know what I mean? And quite a few times the commander will pull me aside from and goes, dude, you can't. You know what I mean? So I do this thing now where I say them and I go, if I offended you, let me know. I'll drive you to IG myself. You know what I mean? Like, I will drive you over there. We'll have that conversation on the way. Right. Because at the end of the day, like, I feel like I can say, and I'm not trying to sound like some jackass or some cowboy right now, right? This is an honest conversation. And I feel like that they're just so, I've reached 05, I'm at 17, 18 years. I just have to keep my nose clean. You know what I mean? For two
it's
more
not even
years.
I have to keep my nose clean. It's I feel like the default is, and I have a lot of bad things to say about O5s and E9s. And notice I didn't say chiefs and I didn't say lieutenant colonels because they're not. They're O5s and they're E9s. And there is a distinct thing that these people do. And I don't know why. I don't know where it happens. But they don't want to do anything. They don't want to make any calls. It's not that they just want to keep their nose clean. It's not that they just want to keep bad things away from them. They don't want to make any calls. They don't want to make any waves. They don't want to stand up to insert whatever social issue that we have here, insert whatever, you know, issue that they really need to. Sometimes you need a commander that is going to break glass, is going to flip a table on behalf of the men, on behalf of the mission, on behalf of the overall intent, guidance, and end state.
Or jump on a table.
Yeah. Or, hey, sometimes you got to jump on a table, man. But I think that's where I'm most disappointed. And I think that's where, especially at the end of my career, where I think betrayed is the wrong word, but I felt sad watching the situation play out, because for so long I had believed truly in my heart that when it came down to it, that these leaders that I trusted would stand, especially dudes wearing berets, would stand up for the right thing. And they'd go, hey, this is BS. We're not going to do this. We are going to do something else. We're going to do it the right way, because there is a right and wrong, and there is a way to choose a side here. And not choosing a side is choosing a side. And unfortunately, I was let down a couple times, especially at the end of my career, by some O9s and some O9s, some E9s and some O6s and some O5s. where it kind of like made me look around and go, hold on here. Maybe we need to fix this from the ground up. Maybe we need to fix this from somewhere else, because I don't know if the upper echelons are that open to hearing and changing what it is that they're doing. I don't know how you feel about that, Trent.
When we talk about like some of these programs and all these other things that are being, you know, kind of forced down the chain at us, I kind of think like, it has to fill the vacuum of accountability and leadership with something, right? Don't we have to fill that? And so in the absence of leaders and accountability, what do? You fill it with processes.
Processes, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's what we do. We fill it with programs and processes to fill the void. And it's not a good solution. It's a terrible solution. But that, like, I want to get mad at all the people like pushing this stuff down, but like, what else are they supposed to do? You know, like, cause they went through their whole career not being held accountable and doing all these other things. They're not going to change everything like on their way out the door, you know, to go work for whatever corporation.
Raytheon. Yeah. Yeah. The revolving door that is the military industrial complex and the generals just simply putting off their uniform and then going to work for any number of contract agencies for four times the pays. Yeah. Like, what's the incentive there? The incentive structure is really, really screwed up. And, you know, I love my brothers that have said this before, but, you know, most notably Gavin, we all knew Gavin. He's like, you know what we need? We need another war, because we have too much time to be focusing on these stupid top-down forced programs because we're not focusing on the right things. Like, one of the good things about fighting a three-theater war for 20 years, which is where J-Mac has lived his life, and to a lesser extent, Trent and I, man, it's because you didn't have time to focus on all this other stuff. You're deploying every 6 to 8 months for 6 to 8 months, and you don't have time to focus on this. You're like, hey, I got other stuff to do. I don't want to sit around and talk about your feelings or how you were offended by overhearing a comment that somebody else said that I didn't have anything to do with. Like, I'm sorry, but you're not the victim here. We got to just move on. We're going to have to go do something else because our friends are dying and we have to go get ready to deploy. And obviously, as the things have slowed down, Trent, you're right. The thing that fills that void is process and programs and people to run those programs. And we start talking about how many officers there are in the Air Force. Compare the officer corps now to post-World War II. So the day after World War II, look at how many officers we had, and then look at how many we have right now. I want to say it's like 10 times less World War II than we had now.
Well, and a war forces the correct perspective, right? Because it's the folks that are pushing outward. It's the squadrons doing the work. And that's the point. Like, we work for the squadrons no matter where you are. And that weird thing that happens when you become an 06 and you start to believe that just because you wear a bird, somehow you're an important person, or you get these stars and it makes you important. No, no one is more important than the mission.
And the squadron.
The squadron's going out there and doing that thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, Brister, the 2-3 commander when I was there, is one of the greatest commanders I ever had. Cause like, he walked in, he's like, I work for you guys. Y'all are doing the work. I work for you. And it's not, and then for everybody out there that's like, oh, like, how can you say that as a commander? Like, you're in charge. Like, we would have done anything for that dude. Literally anything that he asked us to do, we would have done it, because we know he has our backs and he's focused on the same things we're focused on. But coming out of that, yeah, it's like, now you're asking people to do things and to, you know, put aside their personal opinions about themselves and say that you're not important, like, or you're less important. Your job is to not look at yourself. Your job is to like focus on these other things. It's difficult for them for some reason. I don't know.
I was waiting for J-Mac. I thought he was going to jump in. He's not. He's just stoned. Yeah, I love it.
He's letting us run.
In the previous episode, I just talk.
That's the point. That's the point.
I want to do some listening. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But no, it is frustrating to me, and I get it. I mean, you know, we can all voice these frustrations. But at the end of the day, when you talk about, like, you take a 20-year career of a typical officer, right? Especially in the Air Force, it's a flyer. You know what I mean? You spent, and then we've had this conversation, or I've listened to conversations about, oh, we need to bring the warrant program. People just want to operate. People want to be technical experts, and they want to do that the entire their career. I wish there was a world where you're going to cap out at an E6 and just operate.
That's it, right?
You're going to cap out at a W3 and just operate. You know what I mean? Because you talk about like job satisfaction, it'd be there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But also, the reality of things is it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Or it's same thing was like, well, let's fix NDOC, let's fix ANS. You know what I mean? There's this evolution of like, that ship has sailed. You know what I mean? Because it's like, now I have to focus on the next best thing, or else I'm going to be non-existent. I'm going to go away. My funding is going to go away. the days of, and I deal with this with some of the older PJs. I'm like, I have my friends with a lot of older PJs from the Vietnam in the 70s, 80s. And it's like, they still are, it's like, oh, it's two PJs in the back of the helicopter going into active mesh. I'm like, dude, we are so far removed from that. Well, why? Not for the better. I'm like, actually, let me tell
well,
you.
Well, yeah,
it is for the better because there's right. this thing called evolution.
Right.
That we need to make sure that we are getting after it, and we have this, we're not just a one-trick pony now. We have a specific set of skills that we can, that the commander who wants to utilize us can go, what's my a la carte menu today? I would like this specialty, and that specialty to accomplish this mission set. Oh, I have a group of individuals that does that? No way. You know what I mean? I will use them for that. You know what I mean? So there's that. But back to the whole, what I talked about. Okay, sorry, Trent raised his hand.
No, I just wanted to say with those videos too. I want to focus on a positive thing. Is, you know, we did the IFT, the ANS video, and a few of these other things. And I do want to say, like, you know, in the world, I was a little worried about putting those videos out and stating my opinion. I try to be as diplomatic as possible, you know, but you worry about the backlash a little bit or what people are going to say. I got to say, the overwhelming response, not from just enlisted folks, not just from officers, but from everybody, has been positive. Amongst all those things, like, people, I think just because people make a lot more noise, it doesn't mean that there's a lot more people. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you put out these videos, you're like, oh, this is gonna be super controversial, and come to find out it's not. It's not controversial at all. And we got a lot of support from about those videos. Just want to throw that out there. Yeah.
Well, and I'm not doubting it. You know what I mean? And trust me, you guys have, I'm sure you guys get a lot of hate mail.
Mostly Aaron.
I could care less. Yeah. And that's, you know what? But here's the deal. Those number one, let's call them number one hate mailers, come on and have a conversation. Do you know what I mean? I will tell them right now. Like, everybody knows me, knows who I am, knows what I stand for, and I have no problem explaining that if you don't. Mm-hmm. Hate me for coming on and talking to the boys on One's Ready. I don't care. I don't care. If you're gonna provide feedback and you're gonna say that they shouldn't do this or they shouldn't do, go on and talk. Sit in a hotel room when you're TUI with out the AC on and sweat your ass off and talk. Do you know what I mean?
Hilarious.
Do that, because if not, then shut up. Seriously, stop being a square. Stop living in your just little square world of like, I'm going to check this box because I'm going to get to this level, and then I'm going to go and get out, and I'm going to go work for this venture capital because I have this resume. Nobody likes you.
Right.
Go away. Right.
And you're not
used. Nobody likes you.
J-Mac, so, you're speaking a lot of truth, and a lot of people are going to be like, this is the truth. So let's talk directly to those folks. Let's talk directly to those people that we want to, because, you know, we figured out that there's a way that we can fix these problems. It's not a fix for right now.
Nope.
It's a fix for 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But what we do is we talk directly to those folks that are listening to this right now. And they're like, wait a second, I want to work for a meritocracy. I don't want to work where I'm reduced to my race, my sexual orientation, my gender. I don't want those things included. I do want to put out, and I do want to work hard, and I do want to be rewarded for the work that I do in a meritocracy, regardless of where it is that I came from or socioeconomic background or all those other things. There's a ton of people, man. And like Trent said, overwhelming response. It was positive. It was like, hey, I don't want to be that problem. I do want to look good in a uniform. I do want to be indoctrinated literally to the military, to the Air Force, to pararescue or to combat control or special reconnaissance or whatever you do, you know, combat rescue officer still. I do want to be part of that community. I do want to be part of that heritage. And I do want to give up part of myself to do so. That's the overwhelming response, is like, holy crap, I want to be part of this common sense movement. I want to fix the problem from the ground up. So what advice would you give to them? Like, what can they really do? I'll start it off because I'm narcissistic. But number one is quit playing.
You?
Oh, yeah, I know. Sometimes I just put on the podcast to soothe myself to sleep because I love hearing myself talk so much. Exactly. Aaron, narcissist love. That's actually a lot closer. But number one, stop being a victim. Like, you were here to put out, and you are here to bear it. You know, you were here to be a grown adult in this United States of America. If you enlist, you are not a victim. Nobody did anything to you. Nothing is happening to you. It's happening because of you. So with that being said, what other pieces of advice would you give to these people that are coming in now?
So here comes the buzzword, right? Buzzword barrage. Manage expectations, man. You know what I mean? But you have to look in the mirror and go, okay, why do I want to be a part of this community? you know, you have to be able willing to jot down, whether you write it in a journal, write it on a piece of paper, and stick in your back pocket, or just mentally, you know, make a contract with yourself. Like, what are my values, my motivations, and fears? You know what I mean? You have to be willing to put that out there in a vulnerable sense and say, hey, here's what motivates me. Here's what I value in life. And here's what I fear. You know what I mean? Here's what I expect to get out of this experience. Here's what I expect from you. And here's what you can expect from me. You know what I mean? Because I don't think enough of that happens. Because a lot of people walk around, and not just play that victim card, but they walk around and they go, well, I don't want to offend them, so I'm not going to say that. You know what I mean? Whereas I'm just like, hey, I'm an open book. You know what I mean? And what you see is what you get. And you may not like it, but give me a problem, and I'm going to solve it. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to send the emails, and I'm not going to send the phone calls. I'm going to go and find the you know, who the nucleus of that problem, and we're going to solve it.
That, I'm going to pause you right there, just because I would like to co-sign on this, and I'm going to tell a story about our time at the 321st. Back in the day, when I had Tech Sergeant Jonathan McKenzie as my team sergeant, as I had Tech Sergeant John McKenzie, he is not joking around about not doing things over email. Let me just tell you. So he sat at a desk. You could see from the team room. He was like right inside the door. On 10 occasions, no less than 10 occasions, I watched John McKenzie go like this. You type, read an email and go, what the fuck? And he just stood up and walked out. He's like, where did J-Mac go? And he'd come back in like 20 minutes later. He'd be like, this dude sent me an email and said a bunch of stupid shit. So I just went and talked to him. Turns out he didn't mean to say stupid shit. And turns out we fixed the problem. So now problem's fixed. And then he would just sit back down at his desk and he would start doing work. But it was hilarious. You'd hear ding. And then there's like the pause of like 30 seconds. You'd be like, what the fuck? And then J-Mac would just leave to go handle business in person. But I'll tell you what, highly effective, because then people started coming and they would just knock on the door. They'd be like, is J-Mac here? I didn't want to send an email because he gets me out of emails. I'd be like, yeah, come on in.
Dude. But it's that again, that's a personality thing, man. And we need more of it. You know, and you hinted on it a little bit. I'm not a warmonger here. I'm not rooting for another war. But the scariest thing in the world right now is a non-wartime military. You know what I mean? Yeah. We were still in Afghanistan 2016 to 2020. We know what's happening during that time frame. And boy, those are some of the best years of my life. Those 4 years. Like, we had funding, we had appreciation. There was peace in the Middle East, so to speak. We were still there in the presence ops, just like we have been everywhere. You know, I mean, we talked about the number of officers post World War II. I mean, we've had presence ops in Europe and Germany, like thousands of people since post World War II. We've had presence ops in Korea since post-Korean War. We've had presence ops in Japan, post-World War II, right? And like, but the non-wartime military, it's like, hey, let's add some more processes. Let's add some more CBDs to the fight. And like I said, some of these young lieutenants I had in the office today, I'm like, how old are you, first off? 24. Okay. And I'm like, damn.
Okay, your brain's not fully formed yet, dude. I remember.
Yeah, it's not. Your prefrontal cortex is still like, it's
that's why they should be enlisted till they're 25.
Dude, but what an idiot.
There you go, Trent.
There you go, Trent.
We can control them until that moment.
Just winding them up.
Yeah, I mean, hey. But what I tell them is I told them, manage your expectations. I said, I cannot promise you more than one tactical deployment.
Yeah.
That's it.
It is what it is, man.
You know what I mean? From that like soft perspective of you're going to be a soft officer based on your timeline for upgrade, you know, your currencies, your proficiencies, and then non-wartime. Sure, there's taskers out there, but that, you know, that whole scheduling thing works, absolutely a nightmare. On again, off again. Who wants to augment? Who wants to do this? I can't promise you more than one. And I need you to realize, like, hey, you need to establish your leadership philosophy early. You need to own it. You know what I mean? And you need to not worry about what other people think about it. You know what I mean? Like, I've told you guys, I think I sent it to you, my one-page leadership philosophy. Of who I am, like, and what I stand for. And it's a mutual accountability thing. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what a lot of, you talk about, they're the fifth for officers. Like, I love when I talk to other 04s, 05s, and say, what is your leadership philosophy? They're stumped. They can't answer it. Or they want to do a buzzword barrage. Mm-hmm. Like, no. And I'm just like, hey, here's mine. Be a good human and do your job. You guys have heard me say that. That is it. Simple. So be a good human. That's all encompassing. Right? I'm getting after what I have to get after. I'm the profession of arms, this, that, and the other, a little loose here and there. And then do your job, right? Like, what is your job? You know, if you're just going to come in and simply exist to be like, somebody else will fill that void, then what are you doing? You know what I mean? And then it's the ones that simply exist that do a lot of the complaining. Woe me. You know what I mean? Man, a little bit of effort goes a long way. A little bit of effort goes a very long way. And you talk about, like, you guys had CZ on. That guy is an absolute animal, right? And what did he say? He said, like, the turning point of his career was when he took charge instead of taking shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Not close quote, but it's like, that's it, man. Take charge of your destiny. That's what a lot of people. You know, I did this speech in like 2017 when I was in Washington. And I was like, man, like, you're, and I've said it before on here. Every organization has a task org, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's in charge? An org structure. It's like, you may have people you report to, and you may have people that rate on you, but they're not in charge of your life. You right. are in charge of your life. You are in charge of your destiny. If you're not happy, change it. If you want to be a victim, if you want to stop being a victim, change it. Do something. Put forth the effort. You know what I mean? And it leads me to my next thing. So, like, shout out to, off topic a little bit, shout out to Mr. Ortega, right? So he listened to one of our episodes. Not the Ortega we know. This is a civilian. Him and I chatted for on and off for a little year via email, phone, text. Straight up went to phase two as a civilian. We got picked up. You know, hilarious conversation, which I could share with you guys. Was he was like, he started the conversation. I was like, hey, sir, thanks for the guidance and the burpees help. You know what I mean? And then he goes, but you didn't tell me. He goes, I wish I had my phone. You didn't tell me about, let's just say, this one event. And I replied, it's not an open book test. Something you just have to experience. You know what I mean? And he may or may not had two extended Zoom meetings with the wizard, but it was cool. I'm glad he did, because you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a better man for it.
And, I
didn't participate in this year's, this last go, but like, other things going on, but I constantly kept tabs every day. I was like, hey, where's this guy? Where's this guy? And they're like, he's making it. I'm like, yes. There's hope in the world. You know what I mean? And then the other side of that is, I get them all the time. Hey, can you, talk to so-and-so. This guy's interested in product training. Can you set up an IFP? And like, I did it for a while where I would engage personally, because I'm invested in the future of this community. I'm invested in people in general, right? Like, I want to leave a wake of people better than I found them. And it got to the point where I just didn't have the bandwidth. So now we all have, you know, we all have strength condition coaches. I'm like, hey, if folks come to me, which is quite often, are you good with giving them like the IFT? You know, it's kind of like a sniff test. And if they pass, then hey, I welcome into the squadron. They can talk to the guys. They can do what they need to do and see if it's for them, right? So we had a recent thing. I was at a friend's promotion, and this guy, you know, young man, hey, I'm in student coach training. Cool. So here's the deal. I got this guy. He's our coach. They set up a date for the IFT, and the coach comes to me the next day and goes, hey, so-and-so was a no-show. And I got an email. There it is. I got an email. An hour or something later, he's like, something came up. Can I reschedule? I looked at him and I said, you didn't reply yet, did you? He goes, well, no. I said, then don't. I said, forward me the email, because I'm not replying either. We're going to go silent on this guy, because if he's interested, he'll come find us. He knows where we are, and he'll walk in a humble manner and go, hey man, I screwed up. I set an appointment because I want to do this job. I think it's for me. I screwed up. Please, I want another chance. You know what I mean? So it's like, a lot of people listening may be like, well, that's another guy that's you might be losing their recruit. No, if he's interested, he'll come over. Because the thing is, like, people from, you know, they do different jobs in the Air Force. They want to tell people in my section, hey, I'm going to take the IFT. Oh, my goodness. You know what I mean? Like, I think they specifically go over to the BMI table, you know, and they're like, hey, I'm doing this. And everybody's hey, like, look, you're awesome. You know what I mean? Like, good for you. But man, at the end of the day, like, dude, if you're gonna commit, don't just say you're gonna commit.
Yeah, we get that often too. People hit us up and they're like, listen, man, being a PJ is all I've ever dreamed about. And I just can't wait to start this journey. And I just want to talk to you guys. Like, what do you guys think I should be doing for the IFT prep? Like, bro, you're coming to me. You're telling me that this is your life's work. This is your life's goal. And you haven't done anything. Like, how many times people hit us up, Trent? They'll be like, oh, yeah, I have these 8 questions. And we're like, we answer that on 10 different podcasts, 45 different ways. You haven't talked to a recruiter. You have no idea what the process is.
Huge fan of the podcast. Retained zero information from a single episode.
Because guess what? When they go,
how do I take an IFT? What's the IFT then?
Well, when they go to the bar that night with their friends and they're passing out their ankles and they're using a little vape and they're just like, guess what, guys? I listen to this podcast and I'm going to do this fucking job. And all their little vapor buddies are like, sick, dude.
Their little vapor buddies? This is hilarious. You've never sounded older than you do right now. This is great.
I don't care because I'm old as shit, dude, and I just can't stand it. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that pisses me off more than when I pull up next to somebody in the car and they got a vape in one hand and a phone in the other and they have no situational awareness where they don't even know where they are.
Right.
Dumbass.
But there's a science behind not telling people what you're doing all the time, right? Because you want to avoid those dopamine hits from just telling people that you're going to do something hard. Like, you can let people know once, but then you need to stop talking about it. Like, because you don't need anybody giving you approval for something that you haven't even done yet. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's one of those traps that people fall into is they like to talk about it and they keep getting that dopamine hit by people being like, oh, that's so cool, bro. That's so cool. You got to go somewhere else to find that hit, bro. Yeah. You got to start working.
Yeah. I'll say this, like, because we got to wrap it up here. Like, tired about to be off. But, like, the personal narrative aspect of things. I've heard you guys on episodes ask, like, why do you serve? Like, my answer when people ask me, I don't know. I was 17 and I wanted to get away from home. And I've had no idea where the journey was going to take me. And to be really honest, I was scared shitless. Absolutely scared shitless as a 17-year-old joined the Air Force. And here I am now as a 42-year-old looking at 5-6 years from now about J-Mac, to get out. And guess what? I'm still scared shitless, Trent.
No, there's no way you made it without a very specific why and knowing everything that was going to happen to you in the pipeline.
You're telling me you didn't read the 4 mandatory books, like start with why?
Don't you buzzword me right now. Because I tell you right now, like, these personal narratives, I love reading the personal narratives these guys that apply. You know what I mean? To do what we do. Because they have this idea of what it's like in a team. You know what I mean?
I do. Right. You're right.
And it's like, I want to, you know, it's all I've ever wanted to do was to do this aspect war job. It's my calling. Like, how about you write like a 1-sentence personal narrative? I'm scared shitless, but want to experience this because it seems hard. Thank you. Signed.
Do you know how that would get the best? I did the same thing. Like, any time that I've ever worked a cross-training selection event or been anywhere in the pipeline and read a personal, we've talked about it a million times, but I grew up as an abused child of a single mother and I lived in a car and I just knew that this was my calling and that's how I know I'm going to make it through. And those guys never make it through. And then there are guys like you that are like, I don't know, man, it seems cool. It seems like a challenge. And they find their why along the way. Holy crap, man. Like, there's room enough for both. There's room enough for those, you know, ideologues, people that have their why from the time that they were 10 and that's the only thing and they've never wavered. But there's room enough for everybody that doesn't necessarily know their why as well. Just be honest and be transparent and take onus upon yourself. Just own it.
Yep.
Damn, J-Mac, seems like a good place to end, buddy.
It's a closed book test. It's a closed book. And then every question you miss on the closed book, it's burpees for J-Mac. So
hell yeah.
The new guy it is what it is.
The only reason we have you on is because you speak the truth and you fucking care, dude. So keep going. I know it feels like you're taking crazy pills someday. I can tell you from personal experience, I know how maddening it can be the day to day, but you're leading hard. People hearing this completely vulnerable and open and transparent conversation from you, man, it's valuable. And we appreciate you coming on. You can come on anytime you want. You made a joke about you told us you try to weasel yourself on the podcast. Man, it's an open invite. You come on whenever you want, baby. Hell, you got the link. You come on, just hit record. We'll publish it for you.
I'll let you know how next year like plays out. So I'm going to
The JMac versus Everybody podcast is actually our next series of podcasts that we're going to do. We're just going to bring JMac on and somebody else. Yeah. Let him go.
It's going to be JMac versus Academia next year.
Let's go.
I'm going to tell you right now, like you guys said, in closing, haters are going to hate. People know how to get a hold of me. People know how to get a hold of you. They want to sit there and go, I can't believe you went on there and wore your hat backwards and sweated like a fat kid. Dude, I don't care. Like, enter into my arena and let's have a conversation. Yeah. Because, you know what I mean? Like, you may be the golden child, but 9 out of 10 times, you're going to be wrong, man. Mm-hmm. You're going to be wrong.
I believe Tom Hardy is attributed to this quote, or the quote's attributed to Tom Hardy, but he said, hey man, if you got a problem with how I'm doing things, just go ahead and give me a call. If you don't have my number, it means that I don't know you well enough for you to have a problem with me. So how about you just shut the fuck up? And that's exactly how it goes, but it seems like a good place to end it. Like, subscribe, smash that subscribe button, become part of the team. If you want to just smash it,
just subscribe just to hate. That's fine.
Just do you can. I'll say Aaron Love Hate Club. Shout out. They subscribe. They're on there. They hate on me all day. I'm happy to respond. No big deal.
I'm jealous.
All right, bro. Hey,
we'll talk to you later.
J-Mac. Love you.
Later, brother. See you. Dude.